Namaskrityanam Sevanarottamam Devim Sarvatim Vyasam Stojayam Udivayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, sorry, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Chapter entitled The Incarnations of Godhead, text number 2. Sri Jumila Uvach Yovanantasya Gunanantan
Yovanantasya
Gunanantan
Yovanantasya Gunanantan
Anupramishyan
Satubala Buddhi
Anupramishyan Satubala Buddhi Rajamsi Bhumir Ganayet Katanchit
Rajamsi
Bhumir Ganayet Katanchit
Rajamsi Bhumir Ganayet
Katanchit Alena Naiva Kila Shakti Dhamna
Alena Naiva Kila Shakti Dhamna
Alena naiva kila shakti damna.
Alena naiva kila shakti damna.
Sri Jumila uvacha.
Sri Jumila uvacha.
Sri Jumila said.
Sri Jumila said.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Who?
Who?
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Anantasya.
Anantasya.
Of the unlimited Lord.
Of the unlimited Lord.
Gunam,
Gunam,
the transcendental qualities.
Anantam,
Anantam, which are unlimited.
Anukramishyan,
trying to enumerate.
Saha,
he,
to,
certainly.
Bala
Buddhi,
Bala Buddhi.
Is a person of childish intelligence. Rajamsi, the particles of dust. Bhume,
on the earth.
Ganayet,
one may count.
Katanchit,
somehow.
Kalena, in time.
Na eva,
but not.
Akila shakti dana,
the qualities of the reservoir of all potencies. Translation and purport by the following is Srila Prabhupada. Sri Jumila said, anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord has the intelligence of a foolish child. Even if a great genius could somehow or other, after a time-consuming endeavor, count all the particles of dust on the surface of the earth, such a genius could never count the attractive qualities of the personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all potencies. Sri Jumila said,
Anyone trying to enumerate
or describe fully the unlimited qualities
of the unlimited Supreme Lord
has the intelligence of a foolish child.
Even if a great genius could somehow or other, after a time-consuming endeavor, count all the particles of dust
on the surface of the earth, Such a genius could never count.
Such a genius could never count.
The attractive qualities of the personality of Godhead. Who is the reservoir of all potencies?
Who is the reservoir of all potencies?
Purport. In reply to King Nimi's request that the Nava Yogendras describe all the qualities and pastimes of the Lord, Sri Jumila here explains that only the most foolish persons could ever attempt such a comprehensive description of the unlimited qualities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Such foolish, childish persons, however, are far more advanced than ignorant materialistic scientists who actually try to describe all knowledge without even referring to the personality of Godhead. In other words, although it is impossible to describe the Lord fully, foolish atheistic scientists attempt to describe all knowledge without even having reached the most preliminary knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Such atheistic persons should be understood to be short-sighted and of very weak intelligence, despite their showy material achievements, which ultimately end in great suffering and destruction. It is said that Lord Anantadev himself, with his innumerable tongues, cannot even begin to vibrate completely the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example given in this verse is very nice. No human being can hope to count the number of particles on the surface of the earth. Therefore, no one should foolishly try to understand the Supreme Lord by his own tiny endeavour. One should submissively hear knowledge of God as it is spoken by God himself in Bhagavad Gita, and thus one should gradually be elevated to the stage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by tasting a drop of seawater, one can get a general idea of the flavour of the entire ocean. Similarly, by submissively hearing about the personality of Godhead, one can acquire a qualitative understanding of the Absolute Truth, although quantitatively one's knowledge can never be complete. Amagyan timanandasya giranjana shalakaya chakshunilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam didati swa patantikam Vamsha kalpatu rubyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So as pointed out here, the materialistic scientists, they try to explain everything without even referring to God. Which, as is pointed out here, that's the grossest type of ignorance. Actually, most of the top scientists, the Nobel laureates, the most learned personalities, they actually, in their writings, they actually mention that there is a superconsciousness, especially these days. I was even reading, was it the doctor's surgery, I think, yesterday, and I was reading some article, and one of the great thinkers, I can't remember which one it was, recent, one of the modern scientists, they speak of a superconsciousness. You know, there is a great, there's something out there. They don't say God, because God has a religious connotation, so, you know, we won't say God. But most of them, or many of them these days, do mention that there is something superior. Now, it's not that it's fun, but they're trying to explain it in scientific terms. But they are acknowledging there is something there. It's only a very gross and tiny grain which will try to explain everything without even mentioning God. This is just atheism. Krishna says in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what is the 16th chapter of the Gita called?
Divine
and demoniac natures. So basically Krishna divides the creation, the material world, into suras and asuras. Because in the spiritual world, which is most of God's creation, there are just suras, which means devotees. There's no atheist in the spiritual world. The Prabhupada said that the majority are God conscious. Because if you add up all the living entities in creation, the majority of living entities are God conscious. Most of them are devotees, most of them are Vaishnavas. They wear tilak. You'll see in the spiritual world, everyone wears tilak. Everyone's a devotee, everyone's a Vaishnava. It's only here in the minority that we find asuras. We find people who do not wear tilak, who are non-devotees. That's in this world. But the majority of living entities are devotees. So, in this material world, you have suras and asuras. Sura means someone who believes in God. Asura means someone who defies or denies God's existence. That's asura. So all over the world now we have asura. People who ignore God, who deny His existence. Because we come to the material world to try and enjoy separately from Krishna. So you're trying to enjoy, but everything you try to enjoy, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and other things, they're not permitted by God, by His law. So therefore, the best thing to do, if you want to enjoy separately from Him, if you want to enjoy these things, then you have to forget Him. Because you can't really enjoy if you are conscious that He is not satisfied with your activities. So that's why people develop these agnostic and atheistic philosophies and doctrines. And that's why the world, there's so much atheism in the world. Because then if you admit that He exists and you're doing everything against His will, how can you enjoy it? There's no fun if in the material world, if you're trying to enjoy something and there's someone standing behind you the whole time going, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, this is really not proper. Why are you doing this? You know, how can you enjoy yourself? So this is what they do with Krishna. Okay, He doesn't exist. And then put Him out of your consciousness as much as you can. Right? Deny His existence. But deep down, most souls understand that He exists. Just like I was doing book distribution many years ago in Adelaide, maybe 1992 or I think it was 91. And we're doing door-to-door book distribution. And I knocked on one door and one old man came out and I was speaking to him and he told me, he said, in World War II, I think it was, he said, I was in the trenches, maybe in Gallipoli or somewhere in World War II, and he said that in the trenches, 50% of the men were God conscious and 50% were atheists, you know, all the soldiers. He said, you know, 50% believe in God, 50%. He said, when bullets start flying and bombs start dropping, he said 100% were on their knees praying to God. You know? So it's okay, everyone says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God, there's no God. You know, but when there's bombs dropping all around you, right, everyone drops to their knees and starts saying, God help me, save us, and things like that. So deep down, every soul knows God is there. Because deep down, every soul is a devotee of God. But then we try to deny His existence. So then this is the atheistic, asuric mentality, which is now on earth. Like that. So only the grossest materialist, only the grossest person will deny that God exists. But most do not. Most people understand God exists. And most of the living entities in creation are devotees. Only very few are non-devotees like that. So it is said here that someone may try to count every particle of dust within the universe to try to understand God. But it's not possible. And you can't understand Him. In the Krishna book, in the 10th canto, in the Krishna book, at the very end of the Krishna book, one of the last chapters in the 10th canto is the prayers of the personified Vedas. And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes in his commentary, he says that it is not right to say that Krishna does not understand himself. Because if we say Krishna doesn't understand himself, then he's not God by definition. Because God by definition is all-knowing. God by definition is Sarvagya. Sarvagya means knows everything. So if we say that God does not know everything, then he's not God by definition. So he must know everything. But Srila Prabhupada says his potencies are so numerous and so powerful. He has so much potency. Krishna, it's like when you see a picture of Krishna, whenever you see a picture of Krishna, he has a halo, right? A Brahma Jyoti. Brahman means spirit. Jyoti means light. So he has a spiritual light which emanates from him. Now you see all the pictures. You never see pictures of Krishna or Balaram or Radharani without Brahma Jyoti, without the halo, light coming from it. What is that light? What is it? Right? It is Shakti. Right? It's his energies. It's all of his energies. Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Ichta Shakti. Right? He has Kala Shakti. So many Shaktis coming from his personality. Unlimited Shaktis, practically speaking. So, he has so much potency. So, it is said that from all this Shakti, which emanates from him, Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, whenever he discovers, in one moment, right, he discovers the limit of his potency, how powerful he is, how potent he is, how much Shakti he has, how much potency he has, then Prabhupada says, at the next moment he discovers he's more powerful than that. Right? So whenever he understands, like at this moment, when Krishna understands how powerful he is, then the next moment he understands, no, I'm more powerful than that. And then when he understands how powerful he is in that moment, then the next moment he understands, no, I'm more powerful. He's unlimitedly powerful. So if he is only just keeping up with himself, right? If he is only able to, only he can truly know himself, how can any tiny person know him? So some tiny person will say, oh, God is like this, or God is like that, or it is like this, or it is like that. It is ignorant for a tiny person to try to understand everything. Just like recently, a few months back, they did that mega experiment over in, was it in Sweden? They did the big one. The scientists built that, that huge machine and tried to understand the origin of the atom and so forth. Right, like that. Spent trillion, I mean, it's just gross ignorance. I don't know what was the result. Did they, what was their finding? Well, it's done. I mean, they did the experiment. I don't know, I never read afterwards. Everyone was hyping up about it. You know, I mean, they spent, literally, they spent trillions of dollars. Probably enough to, you know, aid all the third world countries in the world to get them out of debt. And, you know, that's how much they spent on this. It was an astronomical experiment. And what did they discover? You know, I haven't even heard anything about their discovery. You know, if they actually discovered something important we probably know about, no one here even knows what they discovered. So what did they discover? What's the point? What are they trying to understand? Right? It's useless trying to understand Krishna like that. Krishna is so powerful, even he is only just keeping up with himself. Right? So how is some little tiny brain going to try to understand by, you know, building the machine? Did anyone see the pictures of the machine? No, it was just wires and just metal, and it was huge, massive. It was this massive kind of cylinder thing in the earth. It was huge. It was like, I don't know how big it was. It was massive, hundreds of meters wide, and it's just all machines and like this and like that. But you're not going to understand God like that. What are you going to do? Like you get, you know, you get one electron, one like particle, which is like 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair, and you put that a kilometer away, and then you get another particle, and you shoot it at light speed, you explode that particle, and then when the particle hits that particle, then a blue cowherd boy appears. How do you think you're going to understand God like that? No, you'll never, ever, ever understand him like that. Krishna says, Bhakti mama vijanati, yavanyaschasmitattvataha. If you want to understand it, you just have to become a devotee. That's how you understand God. Right? You can't understand him by jnana, by mental speculation, by scientific endeavor. He's not understood like that. He's very difficult to understand. If you're a devotee, you can understand. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was the most powerful mind of his time, the most powerful scholar of his time, incredible Shruti Dara, like an incredible personality, beyond our estimation, how intelligent, how powerful his intelligence was. Then one very intelligent person came to him and said, I have some very deep questions I need to ask you. He said, go and ask the Brahmacharis. And just go and ask my disciples. He said, they'll answer your questions. He said, no, I have to speak to you. And these are very deep things like that. He said, I'm busy now. He said, you can come back in the afternoon and I'll speak to you then. He said, in the meantime, he said, go and help the Brahmacharis polish the altar paraphernalia. You know, all the Brahmacharis were polishing the brass for the altar. So he said to this, he said, you go and do that. And he said, no, I have important things I need to see. He said, no, I don't have time. He said, you have to wait. You just do that and then you come back later and we'll speak. So then he was submissive. He had that good quality. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena. Pariprasnena. If you're not submissive, you will not understand the truth. This is the first qualification of spiritual life. Humility. Right? If you think that you know everything, then no one can tell you anything. So it's the first quality of a devotee, of a disciple. And he must be submissive like that. So he was submissive to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then he went and he spent the whole morning polishing the brass and the paraphernalia. In other words, he was doing bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. Right? And then Krishna says in the Gita, Tesham Satya Yukdanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upiyantite. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Within your heart, Krishna reveals everything. Right? Everything becomes revealed within the heart of the devotee just by doing devotional service. So therefore, he did devotional service, he polished the brass for all morning, and he came back, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in the afternoon, he said, what are your questions? He said, everything was answered. He said, I did the service, right? Did bhakti, and then all the knowledge came within the heart. Krishna, as super soul, as Paramatma, reveals everything within the heart. So it is by bhakti or by devotion that you understand God. It is by bhakti or devotion that you understand everything. You cannot understand Krishna outside of devotional service. You can't understand God outside of it. What is the use of all the knowledge? You know, they have so much knowledge, so many departments of knowledge and like that. Just like yesterday I was listening to the news on the radio and they had people from Cambridge University, you know, one of the most prestigious universities on earth. Right? Such, you know, considered very intellectual people, but they don't know Krishna. They don't know God as a cowherd boy because there is not bhakti within their sadhana, within their practice. They put out so much discipline and so much effort they put into study, but they don't understand at the end the absolute truth, the tattva, right? The param satyam, or the essence of everything, which is God is a cowherd boy. That is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Right? The absolute truth is Govinda. Govinda Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He is a cowherd boy. You can't understand this any other way, only through devotional service. Okay. So it may sound simplistic, but actually it's very deep. But this is the method of understanding. As it says here at the end of the purport, the method of understanding God is that one should submissively hear knowledge of God as it is spoken by God himself in Bhagavad Gita, and thus one should be gradually elevated to the stage of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is how you understand Krishna, by submissive oral reception. This is how we attain perfection. Touch Hunu. Krishna says in the very beginning of chapter 7 of the Gita, he says, touch Srinu, just hear. from me, Arjuna. You'll understand everything just by hearing, but your attitude has to be correct. When you hear submissively, you can understand everything. You can't understand everything, but you can understand everything which is needed to be known. Just like one time one reporter said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, do you know everything? Prabhupada said, yes. And the reporter said, how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada said, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Who cares? How many windows were there in the World Trade Center? Who cares? It's not there anymore. You know, what's the point? People try to impress people with knowledge. Right? Even as devotees, this is an anatta. It's an anatta to try to impress other devotees by your knowledge. That's not bhakti. Bhakti is not knowledge. Bhakti means devotion. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Vairagya Bija Nija Bhakti Yogena. The type of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach is enriched with Vairagya and Bija, right? With knowledge and renunciation. The knowledge and renunciation are not the goals. Right? You can't impress Krishna with knowledge or renunciation. You can impress him by bhakti. Right? You try to impress Krishna. Krishna, I know the whole Bhagavad Gita. I know the whole Bhagavad Gita, 700 slokas, I know it. What's Krishna going to say? Krishna said, well, I spoke it. Yeah, you know it, I spoke it. How do you impress Krishna? Oh, Krishna, I'm so renounced. So much vairagya, so much renunciation. I only eat sweets once a week. So these things don't impress Krishna. We know in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu that Mahaprabhu was having Sankirtan at Srivatangam, and the kirtan began, the nocturnal kirtan, and Mahaprabhu and all the associates were dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And after some time, Mahaprabhu stopped the kirtan and said, I'm not tasting ecstasy. I'm not tasting nectar tonight. He said, there must be someone here who is unqualified. And he looked at Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur, he went across to the corner and he lifted up a basket. And under the basket there was a devotee, Brahmacharya. Mahaprabhu said, he's not qualified, he should leave. And Srivas Thakur said, no, he's very simple. He's very renounced. He only eats fruit and milk. Mahaprabhu said, do you think you can attain love for Krishna by just having fruit and milk? He has to leave. So Srivas Thakur took him out, opened the door, took him out, closed the door. But then the Brahmachari, in his heart, he realized his deficiency. He was proud of his renunciation. I'm such a staunch Brahmachari. Only fruit and milk. So renounced. So much knowledge. Jnana Vairagya. But bhakti was not sufficient. Only bhakti attracts Krishna. Because his heart changed, then Mahaprabhu knew within his heart that his consciousness was different. So then he asked Srivas, he said, go and bring him back. So he came back and he enjoyed Prema Sankirtan. Right? Because Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan is done with Prema. Right? He chants the holy name with Prema, with love for Krishna. Romancha Kampashu Taranga Bhajo. That whenever Mahaprabhu chants, his hairs stand on end. Tears fall from his eyes and his body quivers. Right? When he chants the name Krishna, Krishna, like that. So, this is the type of Sankirtan. So to enter into Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one must have bhakti. That is how you understand Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, this time of year is very auspicious and very important, because Srila Prabhupada began in the 70s. He began in December. There is a book distribution marathon. This is spoken of in Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita in the beginning of, is it beginning of volume 5 or beginning of volume 6? Might be the beginning of volume 6, I think. Beginning of volume 5 and volume 6 discusses how book distribution or the Christmas marathon began, Prabhupada's marathon began in the 70s. So, this is an arrangement by the Lord, because at Christmas time in the Western world, everyone becomes a little intoxicated by the desire to spend money and buy gifts for others. And also people develop more goodwill. You'll see when it gets very close to Christmas, people develop more goodwill like that. You'll see people become more soft-hearted, more giving. They give more charity and so forth like that. And they desire to, they get into this materialistic consciousness in one respect, because they show their goodwill to others by buying gifts for others like that. So this is the potency of the pure devotee of the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. By his potency, 2,000 years ago he appeared in Bethlehem. But by his potency, he is one of the most potent personalities to appear in modern history. One of the most famous people on earth. Everyone on earth knows Jesus. There's practically not anyone on earth who would not know Jesus, practically, like that. And what is his potency? His potency is that he is, because he is a pure devotee, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he is a Shakya Vaishavata. Because he's a pure devotee of Krishna, of God, then he has transformed the earth. And he's so powerful that 2,000 years later people still remember his birthday. Just like people don't remember our birthday when we're alive. What to speak of 100 years after we die? 100 years after we die, no one's even going to know we were here. 100 years after I die, there's probably not even going to be one person on earth even knew that I even lived. Jesus is so powerful that 2,000 years afterwards, the whole earth celebrates his birthday, practically speaking. That's a pure devotee. Only a pure devotee can have that potency. And he's so potent that he creates goodwill, because the nature of a pure devotee is that he has all auspicious qualities. All auspicious qualities are found in a pure devotee. Only in a pure devotee. And he's so auspicious that by his potency he affects the hearts of so many millions of people on earth, and they become more less self-centered, and they develop goodwill, good spirit, and they want to do something good for others. By his potency they become more like him. That's the potency of associating with the Bhagavat, with the Srimad Bhagavatam or the pure devotee. By associating with this Bhagavatam or the pure devotee of the Lord, one develops those qualities like them. Selfless. Develops goodwill. So by Jesus' potency, then people are developing goodwill all over the world. And you see around Christmas time, people become more pleasant to each other. There's more goodwill and people become like that. So it is by the Lord's arrangement that Jesus, who's one of the leaders of the Sankirtan army, he has appeared and he has created this phenomenon where people want to show their goodwill to each other by buying material gifts and giving it to others. So taking advantage of this situation, which was created by the Lord's pure devotee, then another pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who has come 2,000 years after Jesus, he's taken advantage of the Lord's pure devotee's appearance, and Prabhupada's taken advantage, and Prabhupada began the Christmas marathon, Prabhupada's marathon, which we do every year. So we take advantage of this time, and people in this spirit of buying and receiving, to give them the real gift of Krishna consciousness. And what is the real gift of Krishna consciousness? It is Prabhupada's books. That was the most important gift that Prabhupada gave to the world. That was the ecstasy of Prabhupada's heart, was his books. Prabhupada said that management, and when Prabhupada was managing this kind, Prabhupada said, management gives me a headache. That's what it's like. You know, you try to manage anything, it gives you a headache. It's like that. But Prabhupada said, my purports are my transcendental ecstasies. Right? This is where Prabhupada's ecstasy lies. Prabhupada even said, my purports are better than me. Right? Prabhupada meaning that the best of Prabhupada is in those purports. If you want to know Prabhupada, you study his purports. Right? If anyone says that Prabhupada is gone, Prabhupada is not gone. Prabhupada is there in his purports. The more you associate with his purports, the more you associate with Prabhupada. Like that. So Prabhupada desired that we give everyone on earth the opportunity to read his purports. So therefore Prabhupada said, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. So it is the duty of every member of ISKCON to distribute some books in the month of December. Prabhupada said, there's some letters where Prabhupada said, every member of ISKCON should learn this art of transcendental book distribution. Everyone. Everyone should know how to do it. Prabhupada said it is the family business. Everyone has to know how to do it. Everyone has to distribute some books during the marathon. So when they first began, if you're reading the Lilamrita, when they first began the marathon, the first Christmas marathon went for 3 days. And on the third day of the marathon, the devotees went out early in the morning, and you know, normally they'd go out on Sankirtan like 9 in the morning, or start whenever in the morning, 8 or 9, whenever they start the morning, and stay out till 5 or 6 o'clock or like that. But then on the third day of the marathon, when they first had their first Christmas marathon ever, then all the devotees just spontaneously were in so much ecstasy from distributing Prabhupada's books, they stayed out until midnight, all of them. And they all came back and they thought, oh, everyone must be waiting for me to come back. And the first devotee who came back at 9 o'clock at night, and there was no one in the temple. And then the next devotee came back at 10 o'clock at night, he thought, oh, everyone must be waiting for me, and there was only two of them. And most of the devotees came back at 12 o'clock at night. Because everyone was absorbed in the nectar of Sankirtan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when you play the mridanga and you do kirtan, what we call harinam, Sankirtan, when we go out we do harinam. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you can hear the mridanga a few blocks away. Just like you go through the city and you hear the harinam party coming. You can only hear it for half a block or something like that. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, said, this is Brihad Mridanga. Brihad Mridanga means the great mridanga. Book distribution is the great mridanga. Because when you distribute the books, right, you can do the kirtan here, or you can just distribute the books here in Melbourne, but the books can go all over the planet. Right? And the proof was when Prabhupada was here himself, the first time Prabhupada went to Japan on the way to India in 1970. Prabhupada was flying from America to India and he went through Japan, and in the airport in Japan one boy came up to him and he said, are you Bhaktivedanta Swami? And Prabhupada was surprised. He said, yes. He said, yes, I've been reading your books. And there wasn't even any devotees in Japan. The books had just been distributed at the airports and so forth, and this is Brihad Mridanga. Prabhupada got this order from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. Right, on the banks of Radhakund, right, the most holy place in the universe for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. Prabhupada made that his life's mission. So our duty as members of ISKCON, as followers of Prabhupada, is to help him distribute the fruits of love of Godhead. Transcendental book distribution key? We'll stop there. We'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Yeah.